This is the What Matters Most podcast. A 100% listener-supported program. And now, here is your host, Paul Samuel Dolman.
Welcome back to What Matters Most. I love my beautiful audience scattered around the globe. We keep getting more and more emails from all over the place. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the great guest suggestions. We hear you. I write everyone back. It's an honor. If you take the time, I will meet you there. So, and what a time in the world. Change, change, change. Somewhere David Bowie is still singing Changes. Shout out to my wonderful friend, Kim, the great publicist who keeps sending me incredible books from New World Library. Today's guest is no exception. With her book, Radical Intuition, A Revolutionary Guide to Using Your Inner Power, what a treat to finally welcome to the family, Miss Kim Chesney. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Paul. Excited to be here today.
Kim, I wanted to ask you first, because here we are, planetary citizens. What are your thoughts on what's been going on in America over the last 10 days here? We saw some unprecedented action, a coup attempt, a violent coup. What's your take? Because considering what you do, I would be fascinated to hear what your thoughts and feelings are.
Unbelievable. You know, just like pause, take a deep breath, just trying to process all the things that have happened and days that I never thought I would see coming in this country. So ironically, the book Radical Intuition actually came out on Election Day, which Kim and I talked about how apropos it is in a lot of ways, because, you know, radical intuition really has a place in this conversation with all of these shifts we're seeing, all of this division that we're seeing, and this idea of radically reconnecting within with ourselves is really a call for people to come together and to really unite, because intuition behind everything else is a great connector of people. And if more and more of us would really connect to the truth within us instead of chasing all of this misinformation in the world and all these lies and all this confusion and identifying with that, we would live in a much more harmonious place.
Oh, amen. And for just someone wondering, will you define for you what intuition is? Because I've heard so many different takes on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great way to get started, because, and that's really one of the reasons why I wrote this book when I was, you know, my first book came out about 15 years ago. And when I would talk about intuition, I realized that everybody sort of had a different idea of what it was. We really lacked a comprehensive understanding of what intuition really is. So the fact that there was so much confusion around it just created this environment where most people didn't really even believe it was real, or that they could trust it, or that it was anything reliable. And so the purpose of this book is really to demystify that and really normalize intuition as a natural part of our thinking process. The intuitive mind is simply a complement to the intellectual mind. There's more than one way for us to process information in this world. We don't have to do it deductively, linearly. You know, we can do it in this new kind of quantum way where we go within and draw down information from the cloud of information that is around us that we know is there on a certain level. So simply put, you know, intuition, we experience intuition as a thought or a feeling, a knowingness or an idea or a creative inspiration that comes to us instead of us formulating it with our rational thinking mind.
Wow, very succinct. Talk to me about your journey. I guarantee you weren't born just where you are right now. And there have probably been some bumps and bruises and some dead ends and falling off the trapeze. Can you kind of give us a snapshot of how you evolved to where you've gotten this kind of access and these skills to teach?
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. You know, there was a lot of failing forward in my life. There was a lot of unexpected turns. And that's really part of the intuitive process. When you live your life by your intuition, you're not going to follow this trodden path that everyone else has for you. Because one of the core things about intuition is when you start to listen to yourself, you know deep inside what your potential is, what your callings are. And the world is conspiring against you every moment to tell you how you should think and what you should do. So there's a real real importance for us to start our lives and live our lives from this place of inner knowingness. And for me, you know, when I was young, I was a very intuitive person. I was an artist. I was a creative person. I got my degree in oil painting, but somehow managed to end up having a career in technology. So, counterintuitive indeed, that I ended up working as a leader in technology, really bringing together innovation and intuition and creativity and all of those things that are really the other side of our knowledge system. So working in technology, you know, I had the ability to start really talking with and learning from some really super smart people. You know, my work was supported by Carnegie Mellon University. I ended up working with some of the biggest tech companies on the planet. So I really was engaging with some real high-level thinkers, people that were so much smarter than me. I'm like, why are you even talking to me? But what I had was this element of intuition, which is something that isn't taught at school, which is something that we don't learn when we are, you know, going through our education system. So when we start to focus on intuition, we realize that there's a shift to a different kind of knowing and learning and living in our lives that is really valuable now and moving forward. So I'm sitting at these tables with really super smart people, and all of a sudden I hear the word intuition coming up over and over again. You know, and suddenly, you know, we start to see that intuition isn't just something that we can learn over time, that it's repeatable and learnable, just like any other type of information system that we're going through, but it's also something that can affect not only our personal lives, but the way that we impact the world, the way that we create new products, the way we create new communities, the way we relate to each other empathically, the way that we come together. So there's such a huge impact of intuition. So that my journey really started with learning intuition for myself, being creative, learning to follow that inner voice, learning to understand that there's more to life than we think, and then really taking that out and using it to help other people to use their intuition and serve and create and make the world better.
And why is it so hard for people, by and large, to trust their own intuition and even to use their own powers, like a reluctance? I see it all the time. I see it in myself. What's up with that?
Well, I always call intuition the world's best kept secret, because I think we have been taught for so long that it's something that's unreliable, that we're reluctant to trust in it until we get some validation that it's actually real. And once you've had one or two of those experiences in your life, when you've known something that was impossible to know, or you've had some sort of experience or a feeling that led you to something that was really valuable, then you start to realize there's actually something here. And so in order for us to really be able to follow that and live by it, we have to develop a trust in it. So that's why intuitive development is so important. You know, we go to school to get really smart. It makes total sense that we should learn to be intuitive also. We have to understand how our intuition works. It's not something that we immediately know how to use. I mean, it comes through in life in little moments for most of us, but really it's something that we can open up to, and it can start to happen regularly, and we can have it on demand. So most people don't understand that or realize that they have it, because everyone has it. Everyone that's ever walked the face of this earth is intuitive. We just haven't really learned how to recognize it and built a trust in it to really live by it every day.
And you had the quote in your book, and it was one of my favorites from Einstein. He said, "Intuition is the father of new knowledge." Elaborate on that, because those are the new frontiers. That's where we go.
Yeah, and that really says it all, that word new, right? So intuition is the difference between following other people and following yourself. So anyone who's done anything truly extraordinary in the world has walked their own path. You know, Steve Jobs didn't invent Apple by following like Microsoft or another technology person. He did it by forging his own path. And that's where intuition comes in, because intuition guides us to our own unique path and potential. And we start to follow ourselves, you know, informed by the world, inspired by the world around us, but follow that inner guidance. That's when we're able to really tap into genius. It's the secret sauce of genius, is really balancing our intuitive mind and our rational minds. You know, this is certainly not a call to throw away our intellectual minds. It's a call to build on it. You know, we want to take it to the next level, and intuition is there to take our minds and our really smart thinking and all of that stuff to a higher place.
You mentioned Steve Jobs. He was a huge meditator. And so he was tapping in. Do you have a spiritual practice, an awareness practice that you use regularly to expand and strengthen these muscles?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I love that Steve Jobs was a huge proponent of intuition and actually gave Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda to all of his employees. And Yogananda was one of my big influences because he really, really formed the foundation of intuition and using intuition with science and intellect and all of the stuff that brings together the Eastern and Western thought. So yes, meditation, I think, is so important. And for folks out there, if you don't like to meditate, because I know some people, it's, you know, it's hard for them, simply spending more time alone with yourself, going for walks in the woods, going for a bike ride, taking a nice hot bath or shower, really spending time in that silence and stillness is so crucial to learning to hear that inner voice, because it's in that silence and stillness that your intuition speaks.
I'm glad you mentioned Yogananda. He was one of my first and favorite teachers still. I'm looking at a picture of him right here on my wall. I would highly recommend to the listeners the life-changing book, The Autobiography of a Yogi. I've read it countless times. It still blows my mind. It's a gentle, universal love path. He quotes all the other teachers. And I am never surprised, yet always shocked, that so many people I really connect with also love Yogananda. We're like a tribe. And he has been involved in my life for good since I discovered him. And I feel probably for many times before that. It's just, he's always seems to turn up in the right spot.
Yeah. And he actually wrote a 2-volume book. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called The Second Coming. And this whole book is based around the idea that the second coming of Christ is within us through our intuition. So of course, this really, you know, I was really excited by that. And I've read like all like 2000 pages of it, but he was such a proponent of intuition as this connection to God and higher power.
I've read a lot of his stuff. I didn't finish that one. I skim. And I always love the quote he said that, basically I'll paraphrase, everything else can wait. Our search for God is the only thing that really matters. But you and I hear it in your work. It's not on a mountaintop. I love to go to the lake shrine. I love to go to the gardens. I love to meditate. I love to be in nature. It's my favorite thing. It's my easy access point. But we also need to take it into the world. Otherwise, it's not very useful. We need to bring it into the halls of the Capitol and also the companies and the corporations and into our relationships and into our health and what we eat and how we move through the world. Don't you think?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Because I always say intuition is, it's a 2-part process. You know, it's knowing it and recognizing it, but then it's following it and bringing it into reality. Because that's the whole point. The whole point is to share it and to make the changes that it's calling us to and to really share it with other people and participate in it as an active process.
Kim, will you talk about the 4 intuitions? You had that in your book. That was a great section.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, part of the whole process of, you know, really creating this reimagining of intuition and understanding it with this broad brush that everyone can understand in a very practical way was trying to understand all the different manifestations of intuition. You know, is it that feeling? Is it that knowing? Is it that creative inspiration? Or is it that experience of connection with the divine, right? So there's all these different ways that our intuition connects with us in a daily basis. So I wanted to create a model that helped people to simply understand it. So, you know, there is just one intuition. It's not that there's actually 4 actual different types of intuition. There's one overall intuition that connects us with all that is beyond, the higher power, source, the universe, God, whatever word you want to use for that. But that intuition can speak to us in so many different ways. So understanding these 4 general pathways of intuition, they are really just the 4 general ways that our intuition comes to us, that we receive it and can recognize it. And it comes down to the age-old 4 elements of body, mind, heart, and spirit, right? So Carl Jung uses these and his Myers-Briggs and the 4 cognitive functions. It's the way that we receive information from the world around us as human beings, but it's also the way that we receive information from the world inside of us. So it goes both ways, from the inside and from the outside. So understanding their intuition is what speaks to us from the inside. So we can look at these 4 pathways of body, mind, heart, and spirit and see how intuition speaks to us every day. For example, if intuition can speak to you through your body, through your physical senses, through your gut feelings, right? For like even things like intuitive eating is so important. You know, our body can call us to different foods by the way that it appeals to us or doesn't appeal to us. So there's actual physical sensations that our intuition can work with us with on a daily basis. And we're working with intuition of the mind. We're talking about making decisions and choices and our inner guidance every day. You know, we have to go out there and choose the path that we're going to live. And when we have our intuition guiding us there and our intuition 24/7 on demand, then we're able to make better choices and clearer choices. And then thirdly, we have intuition of the heart, you know, and that's not our emotions. That's not our small ego feelings. It's our passion. It's what moves us. It's what calls us to transform and the kind of things we were talking about earlier when it's making this change and impact on the world. So this is very emotive, like following our heart's passion and our destiny in the world. And then finally, the spirit, you know, and that's like the archetype of the mystic, which is connecting with God and the universe and our spirituality and all that is beyond us in a really powerful way to remind us that we are more than just these individual human beings living in this small place and time.
You're so elegant and articulate. How are you so fluent with this? It just flows out of you. What's the secret?
I live, eat, and breathe it. It is my passion. So I think it's all in there now.
I can tell it's like squeezing an orange and I'm going, look, orange juice. It's unbelievable. Describe that life. What does the intuitive life look like?
Yeah. So, you know, it's something that you gradually, you know, ease into. It's not something like you don't magically wake up one morning and your life is different. So it's a gradual process that I've experienced over the last 20 years of my life. Since you sort of I had an awakening, so to speak, air quotes, you know, when I was in my 20s and I realized that you know, there was more to life and I wanted to go within and I wanted to start this inner journey. And I've spent the last 20 years really pushing it to the boundaries as much as I could to really understand, you know, what intuition was for me and how I could continue to use it in deeper and more fluid ways in my life. So what I call this whole process of insightfulness really is what we're talking about is living a life of insightfulness. You know, we talk about mindfulness, but really once we move through mindfulness and get into that space and into that presence and stillness with our life, you know, we're able to start moving into insightfulness. And that's how I try to live my life every day with this culture of insightfulness where I'm checking in with my intuition with everything I do. You know, if I'm making a decision, I always check in to see how does it feel? Is it resonant with me? And I really just use it pretty much nonstop, whether I'm creating, whether I'm writing, whether I'm painting, whether I'm parenting my kids, whatever I'm choosing to eat, whatever I put in my body, my exercise routine. You know, so and even, you know, when I'm going for walks, like we were talking about earlier, having those moments of just connecting with nature and that pure, beautiful experience of oneness with life. So there's so many different ways thinking of it really in terms of those four pathways we just talked about that we can connect with our intuition all the time.
And Kim, for me, which I do the same thing, it ebbs and flows. There are times where it's unbelievable and I don't even understand why. And then other times where I feel more disconnected, but I can tell I'm disconnected, it's like a weather signal. And I guess that's just contrast and polarity. I've come to accept it's sort of what it is. But I've learned that the more I listen and pay attention to it, the better my life flows. And I do have to keep it quiet, my external environment, as much as I can my internal environment. Because it truly whispers. By the time it screams, that's the painful way to learn. And I hate pain.
Yeah, you can. I always say with intuition, you can learn the easy way or the hard way. When you follow your intuition, you'll go the easy way. When you know those famous last words, "I didn't listen to my intuition." Then we have to learn through life experience that sometimes is quite painful.
Talk about intuition as it relates to being in the flow and what you consider the flow.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad you just brought that up about sometimes you don't feel like you're in the flow. Sometimes you feel like you're in a dissonant place. And I also want to reiterate that that's part of the journey. And that's something that I experience, even though I work with my intuition all the time. It's a natural part of life to be faced with those ebbs and flows. But when we stay connected to our intuition, we can handle them better, right? We can ride out the storms better because we are alive. We're in a changeable world, a dynamic world with outside influences that we can't always control. So staying attuned to our intuition, right, is keeping that true north. So it'll keep us on track, even though things are going to threaten to pull us off. You know, there's like the world around us right now, for example, is full of chaos. So, you know, it's very easy in times like this to feel the fear and to, especially if you're empathic or sensitive, to really have the vibration that's out there with so much, you know, anger and divisiveness, to have that, you know, affect you on a low key level. So really staying and reminding ourselves that, you know, that we have to stay on our center and stay connected to our truth, and that we still have a pathway through this, and that our intuition will lead us there. And this is all meaningful, and trusting in life that even though this hurts right now, and this is, you know, these are growing pains, but that ultimately, if we stay the course, we can come out of this and learn something from it that'll make us all better.
Are you hopeful for our species and our civilizations? I know the Earth will be fine, but what? I mean, not everything is preordained for a Disney ending.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I'm very hopeful. You know, there are moments where we have doubt, where we wonder, like, what are we doing, human beings here? Come on, we can do better than this. We can do better than this, I think is really the truth. We can, and I hope that we will. I think that we will, and I think that hopefully it will take some time and a little calming down. I think there's a lot of inflammatory things happening now, but hopefully we'll come to our senses and find a pathway back to unity and be better and stronger than we ever were, because we did have things that we needed to deal with. This, all of this stuff, the pandemic, the political issues, they've all together really woke a lot of people up, and in a lot of ways that we needed to wake up. So I'm hoping that this is all for the greater good.
Yeah, me too. And on the topic of the pandemic, what's been your COVID experience? I've found that a lot of people that are more inwardly geared, it hasn't been that hard. I mean, it's just a different version of inward, maybe a deeper level. They already were slowing down. They were reflective. But the folks that were so outward, it's been harder. And again, I always put this caveat on there, in no way to diminish the massive suffering. I have lost people. People have lost their parents. People are without rent. It's a criminal. It's not a travesty. I'm not going to mince words. The government, not my opinion, in fact, has had criminal neglect, almost genocide. We've lost maybe upwards of 500,000 people. The counts are underreported. And, you know, all my friends in Europe are getting 2,000 a month. They don't have to worry about health insurance. They never did. And we have a different world here. But what has been your COVID experience? I mean, has it changed your life over the last year? I mean, obviously in some ways, but how in the deeper ways?
Yeah. I mean, and I really couldn't agree with you more on all of that. You know, I do feel that this is a timeout that was much needed. I think that in a lot of ways, you know, like you said, all of the real true pain and suffering aside, understanding that, you know, we needed to slow down as a people, as a world, and for so many reasons. You know, look at what has happened to the earth when we slow down, and, you know, like the earth heals because the humans went inside, and now the earth can rebalance itself. So even whether we're talking about climate change or we're talking about our individual souls and minds, you know, living these lifestyles of constantly going and out there and doing these things a mile a minute, really showing us that there's another side of life, that slowing down isn't that bad. It's not so bad to be home. It's not so bad to take walks every day. You know, for me, I'm definitely a person that I appreciate my solitude. So in that aspect for me, it has, you know, really my life hasn't changed much, to be honest with you. This was the life that I've been leading. So I am out in the country more now, and I have some wonderful places where I can be closer to nature. So I do appreciate that. And it was, you know, it was difficult with the book, you know, really, really finishing that up during this time and being in that headspace. It was, it was definitely a time of an unexpected time of change that really influenced a lot of the things that were happening as I finished the end of that book.
You know, as you were talking about that, I immediately went back to something you said 10 minutes or 5 minutes ago. I wonder if the pandemic was sort of the lesser tap on the shoulder than, say, absolute climate disruption. You know how you said, if you don't pay attention, it's going to be really bad. I feel like this is maybe the Earth's way, the universe's way of going, hey, take a time out and pause and look what you're doing. And if you don't want to pay attention, the cliff is straight ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. First it's a whisper, then it's a shout, then it's a roar. And I mean, and that's the way intuition works. That's the way life teaches us. And we've been having lots of whispers. I mean, there's been whispers happening for decades here about the things that are happening, you know, with all of the social justice issues, with the climate issues, with, you know, with our culture really in general and our lifestyle and our materialism and all of that stuff. So those all have been out there as whispers, and here we go, we got to shout this time. But we have to be really honest, it could be a lot worse. That the pandemic could have been like the previous pandemics that just wiped out us so quickly in an uncontrollable way. So at least on the side that of trying to look up for a silver lining, this is a shout. You know, this isn't the life-ending roar, but the roar could be ahead if we don't learn our lessons.
I think you're totally right. I want to shift over to quantum consciousness, because I've always been fascinated, now that we've discovered the quantum field, the observer principle, and some of these other things. We've had a lot of quantum physicists on the show. We've been fortunate. Talk about quantum consciousness.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite topics. I love understanding intuition this way. And you know, I think it really is a no-nonsense way of understanding how the intuitive process works. So in the book, I talk about quantum thinking and quantum consciousness, which really is a new way of looking at intuition. So, and this, it's helping with this whole process of normalizing intuition. If you think back, 100, 200 years, you know, we're still living in this Newtonian world of cause and effect, up and down, everything is as we think it is. So that really parallels our normal, everyday, rational thinking. You know, it is deductive, it's linear, it's all of those things that make sense. So things like intuition, when they would happen in the old days, were completely unexplainable. So I think that's how it started to get aligned with things like the fringe occult stuff, because it was such a mystery. But now we're starting to understand quantum physics, and we're realizing the mind works in ways that are mysterious and unpredictable in this whole sort of quantum way. So understanding intuition as quantum thinking, as opposed to the Newtonian thinking that we're doing with this other side of our mind, really allows us to open up the doors to understanding intuition in a scientific way. So we hear about things like, you know, quantum entanglement, and Einstein talked a lot about these really impossible things that we didn't think that particles could do. Two particles can communicate if they're nowhere near each other in space, yet still they're interconnected. Things like that directly relate to intuition and how you might know that your friend's going to call you and the phone rings like 2 seconds later, right? So that kind of stuff happens all the time to all of us. So we know this is something that's not crazy. It's something that we all experience. So instead of just brushing under the rug as just like, oh, a random coincidence, starting to understand that we are entangled in ways that we can't fully explain right now, but that we're working on those wheels are in motion. And every day, there's more discoveries that really support the existence of intuition and really will allow us in the future, I think, to harness it more and work with it in a really real and practical way.
Beautifully said. How do we radicalize our connection to source?
Yeah. And that really is, you know, the core of the book, you know, this idea of radical intuition. The book comes out on election day. We're living in this time, this tumultuous time. How do we, you know, radically reconnect with our truth and who we are? And the core message of this book, in terms of being a revolution or being radical, is making that shift from the conditioning and the illusions of the outside world to the truth of our inner world. And you know, we hear people say things a lot like, you know, trust your inner truth or trust your inner wisdom. But when we actually start to live that way, we radically change our life. When we actually truly follow that inner trust. We trust in life when we truly listen to who we are and what we stand for, and we stand up for that, and we follow through with that. We can't live in an unconscious state anymore. We have to wake up. We have to come to a place where we're aware of our place in the universe and our connection to each other and honor that truth. So this intuition revolution, this radical shift, is really the shift to living our truth in the world, knowing it and living it and making those changes, those tough changes that we sometimes have to make.
And is that then the process that helps us become our true being?
I mean, I think so. I think, when we talk about a lot about authenticity, you know, we hear that word a lot when we're talking about spiritual development and personal growth. And I always say that you can tell your level of awakening by your level of authenticity. So if you're able to be authentic and be who you are with every single person you meet, you're living your truth. If you have to change and be a different person to this person and that person, I mean, we're all going to have to do it a little bit because, you know, sometimes we have difficult people in our lives. But for the most part, if you can have a consistent being, you know who you are and you're going to stand for that. You're not going to pretend to be something you're not to please someone else or pretend to be something you're not to get ahead or to fit in. All of these things that we're really conditioned to do from a very young age, and it becomes just second nature for so many people, right? So we get back to this place of being ourselves and being authentic. And that's when we find our power, because when we are, when you tap into that truth and you discover that truth and you start to live it, the power flows through you because that's how we're meant to go. We're aligned with our purpose. We're aligned with our path. The doors start to open for us because we're on track. So it's a magnificent process, and it really truly leads to an authenticity that allows us to be who we are and to have that strong connection with what is above us and beyond us.
And why do you personally feel so compelled and inspired to teach and share this? Why not just go live off in the woods and just bask in the glory of it all?
You know, I ask myself that question sometimes. Not gonna lie, because there are challenges. You know, it's every day. You know, it's a challenge. Because there's still a lot of friction with intuition. A lot of people don't get it. Even a lot of people who teach traditional intuition, or, you know, what I've called old school intuition, I talk about things like, you know, using it in business and innovation and creativity. And then that's something that doesn't feel right to them, you know, because it's something that's so sacred. But it really is all of those things. And there's room for intuition to be all those things. And I am compelled, as I guess the only word I can say, to share it. And it's something that flows through me and something that drives me and is my passion. So I have to follow, practice what I preach. And as long as I have that fire inside me to share it, I'm going to continue to do that. But I'm also going to say I really sort of relish the idea of sitting by the river on the mountaintop for a little while too.
Isn't that the struggle? And I love these shows. I just live for to talk to people like you and to connect with the audience around the world. But there's a monk inside of me who just wants to be completely out with nature and not like living in the jungle hacking through reeds. I'm not that. I'm too wimpy for that. But I mean, it's just like nature, ocean, oneness. Let the world be the world, but I don't feel we're called to run away from the world. And what I love about your work here, and I can hear it in your voice today and also the book, we're not meant to run away. We're supposed to integrate into the world. And I do resist it. And the world's brutal and barbaric. It's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard to stay here?
Yes. It's especially when you see how mean people are. Sometimes people are so mean and hurtful and divisive, and you just like, why can't we all just get along and be nice and respect each other? And I know we're different, and I think that's part of it. We're different, but let's celebrate our differences instead of using them as an opportunity to divide us. We're all on different roads to the same destination. We just need to appreciate that.
Amen. I'm getting an intuitive question here. I don't know who's out there in the audience listening. Would you talk about how this radical intuition might work in a romantic partnership or relationship for two people, how they might incorporate it so that their relationship functions at a higher level?
Yeah, and that's such a great question because intuition is so important in relationships, right? Because especially when you're starting a relationship and everybody's like putting on airs, you know, everybody's trying to like play it safe and not get hurt, and you know, so in the beginning, it's especially important, and I can relate to that from my own experience when I met my husband because you know, in the beginning when I, you know, we were still in that courting phase and it was my birthday and he didn't go out and do something with me and I had my feelings all hurt and my feelings were all saying, don't ever go out with him again. You know, there was this part of me that was just like, forget it, just go on, move on with your life. But my intuition was so strong to get over those feelings and to reconnect with him. And I'm so glad that I did because, you know, we have such a wonderful relationship. So one of the things very early on with is really overcoming those fears and those emotions that we have in relationships when we're putting ourselves out there for another person, when we're opening up to another person and we don't know if our heart is safe and we don't know if they have our best interest in mind, because, you know, it takes time to build trust with other people. So, you know, if we stick with our intuition and trust in that, even if we can't trust in other people when we get started, it's so helpful and such a wonderful way to support the birth and nurture the growing of your relationship. But then once you're in it and you're in a relationship, it becomes even more important to really continue that intuitive connection with each other so that, you know, you meet each other's needs and that you're being sensitive to each other instead of getting caught up in our own lives. And intuition can be so helpful if there's an imbalance, right? If you're an intuitive connection, then you'll know when something's imbalanced or whether you might be doing something that's, you know, not helpful for your partner or is causing confusion for your partner. And so it really helps to clear the air and really open the lines of communication to a different level of consciousness.
So after hearing what you said about your husband, is the ego kind of the antithesis of, yeah, that's it, isn't it? The ego is not the enemy of the intuition, but it's what gets in the way of the intuition. I find that my mind-based ego, the pain body, you know, what Tolle talks about, I feel like that is not always working for my best interests. It's too self-centered and disconnected, and it wants to stay disconnected, so it feels powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I really feel like The Power of Now is one of the books that is a must read before you do any intuition work, because all of that work with the ego and with the unconsciousness that's around it does get in the way of your intuition, and it is in a way sort of a battle or a friction, because we do have to get into that place of no mind where we put those feelings, we put that overthinking, that critical mind away, and trust in this higher wisdom. And so, yes, so 100%, you know, our feelings and all of those things that we want to protect ourselves. And when we're in protection mode, then that's a big clear sign that that's our ego. And becoming aware of that and saying, okay, I'm going to drop my guard in this way and open up to like true honest communication and true honest sharing and knowledge, you know, that's healthy. That's a healthy way to live.
Great answer. All right, so tune into your radical intuition. And ask yourself, do you think you want to come back in the future on the show? What is your intuition telling you?
I see my first impression. So intuition is listen to the first impressions. And my first impression was definitely.
Oh, good. Then there we go. We'll definitely have you back. My intuition says I should ask you back. So we both listened, and this has been a delight. I highly recommend the easy to read. You can kind of pick it up and put it down anywhere, Radical Intuition. You've done a great piece of work here. It's a great blueprint for people and a lot of pointers, both inwardly and on the path. I really appreciate you, Kim. I think you're really making a difference.
Oh, thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here, and I really appreciate you sharing the message and helping, you know, spread the good word.
All right, and so one last thing. Will you talk to those people all around the world and just give them an inspiring message before we let you go back to your beautiful life?
Yeah. So just remember, this is what I tell myself every day is, you know, no matter what happens and no matter how hard the world is, that there's a beautiful inner world within you that you can never lose track of. Paramahansa Yogananda said it best, you have a portable paradise within you, and it's there for you 24/7. And on the other side of that paradise is your intuition and all the beautiful truth that every single one of us can connect to at any moment, at any time.
You've been listening to the What Matters Most podcast, a 100% listener-supported program. If you feel inspired, please go to our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/whatmattersmost and join our family. So until the next time, stay inspired and in the light.